Well, good morning again. Last week, we spoke a little bit on the rapture out of the book of Revelations, out of chapter 4 and verse 1. We spoke a little bit about how we believe that a rapture is going to take place right there at that spot. And I know there's different perspectives on that, and it can be argued until the Lord comes, I suppose. And I know some people believe in mid-trip rapture, and some believe in post-rapture, and we're going to look at a little bit of that today. I kind of wanted to go a little further into it. I just kind of wanted to show you a little bit about, you know, God does give us in the Bible some places that we can look to see that we're going to be raptured out. I mean, after all, I don't believe that God's wrath is for us. Amen? We're saved from all that. And so we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. We're going to try to anyways. My printer quit working, so I had to handwrite my notes. And last week I just couldn't use them at all. And I'm going to try to use them this week, but I don't know. My handwriting's not all that good. And I did print it. That's the bad thing. If I had written it, I know I couldn't read it. So we're going to have to, just have to fake it, right? So anyhow, open your Bibles to Ephesians, and we'll probably start there. I know that's not close to Revelations, right? But we're probably going to start right there. I know we talked a little bit about the mark of the beast. And we looked at Job a little bit, and we talked about how everything is not on our front porch. You know, everything in the Bible doesn't pertain to us necessarily. And when we're reading the Bible, lots of we're bad about putting everything right here on us, and that's just not the way it works. And so we talked about that a little bit last week. And what I want to talk a little bit about right now, because I had somebody say something about this or ask me a question about this. Does it really matter about what you believe as far as the rapture goes? You know, does it matter whether you believe it's pre-trip or it's mid-trip or it's post? I mean, does it really matter in as far as our doctrine goes? You know, is it a salvation thing? Well, it could be. So it could be. And I know people say, how is that possible? And that's what we're going to look at. But it could be. It could be a salvation issue. And so we're going to look at that just a little bit. I mean, after all, we live today in the dispensation of grace. And it's not of works, right? It's not what we do to work our way to heaven. So think about that when you think about post-trip rapture. You know, people think, well, we're going to be here through the tribulation period, and we've got to decide whether or not to accept the mark or not to accept the mark. Well, when you look at it in that manner, what are we actually saying? Now we're trying to say it's work salvation, aren't we? Because now it has to do back again with what we do. In other words, am I going to accept the mark of the beast or am I going to deny the mark of the beast? It's not about us. It's not about what we're going to do. Our salvation has nothing to do with what we do. Our salvation is everything about what Jesus did on the cross. That's where our salvation comes in. And then ask yourself, when we're talking about salvation, what does it mean to be saved? I mean, have you ever thought about what it means to be saved? I know we'll say, well, we're going to heaven. Yeah, but what else does it mean? What are you saved from? Have you ever considered that? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, well, what was I saved from? Because if you go over in the book of John and you read about salvation, you're reading about what? What are we reading about when we go to the book of John? We're not reading about what we're saved from. We're reading about believers, right? So when we talk about being saved, what are we saved from? We're saved from God's wrath. That's what we're saved from. We're saved from the pits of hell. So if you look at it in that manner, then you look at the tribulation period, and we're talking about right there in John, in Revelation chapter 4, and when John's on the island of Patmos, and we're talking about John being raptured out, taken up to be with God, and we're talking about that's the picture of us being raptured. Well, if we believe in work salvation, we're going to be here during the tribulation period because that's what we're saying. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God's wrath is for me. I don't believe it's for his people. I think God's wrath is for those who aren't his people, those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at that just a little bit this morning. So turn your Bibles, open to the book of Ephesians. We're going to start there because this is very, very simple. This, I know everybody's heard these verses. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. We're going to read that. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it has nothing to do with what I'm going to do. It's got nothing to do with what I can do. It doesn't matter whether I join a church. It doesn't matter whether I'm baptized. You know, all these are good things, but my salvation doesn't depend on whether or not I've been baptized. It doesn't depend on whether or not I wear a suit or whether or not I wear a tie. It doesn't depend on how good I am. If you go out soul winning and you're knocking on doors and you ask somebody, if you died today, would you go to heaven? The biggest response you're going to get is, well, I think so. And you ask them why, it's because, well, I've been pretty good. I mean, if you think about that, I mean, for somebody to think that they've been pretty good, I mean, come on, folks. Really, in today's society, we've been pretty good. And most of us don't live anywhere near like we're supposed to live according to the scriptures. But we've been pretty good. But that's the response you're going to get. That's not what this is. This says right here, "For by grace are ye saved." We live in the dispensation of grace. We're living the grace age. We're saved by God's grace, not by what we do. And it's the same way. What happens when we get to the tribulation period? When we get into the tribulation period, now all of a sudden your salvation is going to depend on whether or not you accept the mark of the beast. So what happened to our grace? So see, what we're trying to do, we're trying to take ourselves out of the grace age and shove us into a time of judgment. Folks, I'm not going to be there in the time of judgment. That's not why I got saved. I got saved out of that. I got saved from all of that. So when we think about the rapture, that's why we believe in pre-trib. I believe the trumpet is going to sound. Now, is there tribulation on earth every day? Every day. But we talked about that last week too. The tribulation that we see here on earth is man's tribulation right now. It's not God's. This is man's tribulation. This is man's wrath. Everything, the worst thing that we go through is what man puts on us today. It's got nothing to do with God's judgment right now. So, and we keep that in mind. So when we move in towards the tribulation period, I don't believe I'm going to be here. I'm going to live right here in this grace age, right here. And when the trumpet sounds, we're out of here. And I think that's going to take place before God's wrath falls on man. So with that being said, let's move over to Romans. Romans chapter 10. It says in verse 9, Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's right there is how I'm going to be saved. It's not because I did or did not accept the mark of a beast. And what people's trying to tell me is that I'm going to have to go through the tribulation period and make that decision. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I'm living in the grace age, and they're not going to steal me out of it. I'm going to stay right here in the grace age until the trumpet sounds. And I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy and steal my salvation from me. It belongs to me. God give it to me. And if you're born again and you're saved, it belongs to you. And don't let anybody steal your glory, because that's what the world's trying to do. And don't think because somebody's on TV or somebody's in a building and they're teaching or preaching, that don't make them God's man. That does not make them God's people. We have so many people that are so corrupt anymore. And what's the purpose of that? Devil? Satan? The sin nature of man? Anything they can to keep you away from God and into hell. Because that's what the battle is every day. Every day of our life, when you get up and your feet hit the floor, you're in a battle. And we forget that as Christians. We forget that. But we're in a battle every day of our lives. Whether you're born or not, whether you're born again or whether you're lost, you're still in the battle. If you're lost, the devil wants to keep you lost. And if you're saved, they want to mess you up. They want to get your mindset messed up to where you can't teach others about Christ. Folks, the situation that we're in today and the things that's going on right here in the United States of America is because of us as Christians has not obeyed the number one commandment. And that's to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, and all thy strength. We haven't done that. And if we'd have done that, our children wouldn't be raised the way they are. They wouldn't be doing the things they're doing. And the world wouldn't be the way it is today. But it's us. And it's because we've allowed God to steal, or not God, but we allow the devil to steal our glory. Folks, we need to stay focused into God's word. We need to keep our minds on everything that he's got for us. And remember, every day that we get up, we're in that battle. Every single day. You say, well, how am I in a battle if I'm a Christian? I'm just getting up and going to work this morning. Everything that you do, somebody's watching you. See, a lost person doesn't see things the way we see things. See, I'm a born-again believer. I know that if I walk out of here today and I mess up and do something wrong, it's not going to send me to hell. See, I know that. When God died on the cross, when Jesus died and paid for my sin, he didn't pay for my sins of yesterday. He didn't pay for half of my sins. He paid for all of my sins. So when I got saved from all my sins. And he done that way before I was born. So guess what? The blood is still good. It's still there. So folks, my sin is paid for. But see, lost people don't see it that way. When lost people see you, they know, well, that man goes to church on Sunday. He goes to Landmark. When they see that, and then when they see you out in public and you're in the grocery store and somebody offends you and you pop off, what do they think? Oh, they're a Christian. Look at them. They're a Christian. See, that's what goes on in their mind. And they use that for an excuse not to be here this morning. I'm not going down there. Nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Sadly, they're probably right. You know, in most cases, a lot of us are hypocrites, aren't we? We don't want to admit that, but we do a lot of things that ought not be doing, even though we teach against it. But we still do it, don't we? That's our sin nature. And we don't like to admit that, but it's truth. So we need to stay focused on these things. And our salvation, it's so simple. It tells us right here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Everything else is man-made. All the religions of the world are man-made, things that we add to this. Work salvation. And if we're not careful when we start looking at the rapture and we start pulling ourselves out of the grace period and dragging ourselves over into judgment, what are we doing? We're trying to take a God-given grace salvation that we have and we're turning it into a work salvation. You know, I know, and people will argue that from now till the trumpet sounds, and that's okay. And they can believe whatever they choose to believe, but I'm not going to let anybody drag me into judgment. My sins are paid for. God paid for every one of them. And I'm not going to let anybody drag me back and put me back to where I was, a sinner again, in God's eyes. I'm not going to let that happen. So anyhow, see if I can catch up with my note. If I can find one here. All right, let's go over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 6, I believe it is. And before we go there, I want to try to help you with a little something. You know, God gives us some examples in the Bible that we can look to, that we can be pretty sure that we're going to be raptured out of here. We're not going to be here during the tribulation period. But before we do that, I want to see if I can help you a little bit with something. And I may have said something before about this, and if I have, that's okay. We learn by repetition, right? I know when we read and study our Bible, I have a lot of people tell me, well, I read it, but I just don't get it. I just can't understand this. And don't feel like you're the only one, because it's everybody, okay? It can be complicated sometimes. But let me help you with that. This is what you need to do. I know you can't remember back, well, some of you might. Remember back when you started walking. You took your first step, and I'm sure you probably hit the diaper on the floor, right? But you didn't quit. You kept going, didn't you? I think I've pretty much seen everybody in here walk. So you know, we didn't quit. We continued to go. We kept fighting. It's the same way with the Bible. When you start reading, just because you don't understand something, don't quit. Just keep reading. And this is what's going to happen. As you read and as you grow, and even though you may not realize it, but it's kind of like God being an artist, and God's painting a picture for you. And as you read your Bible, God's making little strokes on that canvas. And if you continue to read, those strokes become more and more prevalent. And the next thing you know, you got a beautiful picture that you're seeing. But folks, if you quit, God can't put that picture on the canvas for you. You got to keep reading. Just keep studying. Keep going. And God, you know, my granddaughter and I think I said this one time, my granddaughter and I was sitting on a front porch at my mother's house. Perfectly clear blue skies that day. It wasn't a cloud. Literally, it was not a cloud anywhere. Just beautiful blue skies. And she looks up and she says, "Papa, look, God's painting." And right before your eyes, we was watching as a cloud began to develop. And it was just a tiny little white spot. Out of nowhere, it just popped up. And it started to grow into a cloud. And that just blessed my heart that my little granddaughter, when she saw that, she saw God. Folks, that really touched me. But it's just the same way with us. If we will allow God, just give him time, read your scriptures and continue to read and continue to study. I remember when I first started college, you know, Dr. Bradley and I don't remember who else it was, come to visit me one day, and I just told him, I said, "Well, you know, Dr. Bradley is like a walking encyclopedia when it comes to the scriptures." He is. Amen. I mean, he's awesome. And I felt so small, you know, just so little. And he said, "Just keep reading. Just keep reading. Keep studying." You know, and that's what you got to do. But sometimes it seems so overwhelming because there's so much here and you're so anxious to learn. And then you get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Just keep reading. Keep studying. Keep listening to your radio. Keep listening to other Sunday school teachers. Keep listening to your preachers when they preach. And God will paint that picture for you. And the next thing you know, you know more about the Bible than you can ever imagine that you know. God will begin to give you things that you didn't even know that you know. You never even knew that you read it, but you'll know it. You know, that's how God works. He works on the inside. If we'll just give him that opportunity. Now, with that being said, we're going to go into Genesis here. Before we start here in chapter 6, I believe it's over in chapter 19, you can read about Lot. You know, Lot was in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, was destroyed. But before that city was destroyed, Lot fled out of there, didn't he? God wouldn't destroy it until Lot was taken out. And we don't have time to go into all of that this morning because I want to go through here in Genesis with Noah. So look at chapter 6. And let's see. Look at verse 12. It says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Folks, can you imagine today God looking down on this earth? I mean, are we corrupt? Is the earth filled with violence? You know, is it as bad now as it was then? I believe it's worse. It's got to be worse. Think about something. Back then, you know, you couldn't just exactly pick up a cell phone and call Europe. You know what I mean? You couldn't jump on a plane and fly halfway around the world in a matter of hours. You couldn't do that. You know, you couldn't send a fleet of airplanes over to bomb another country. I mean, so today I believe it's worse. But yet God destroyed this, didn't he? So God looking down on us today, how do you think he feels about the situation? Folks, I believe that the rapture is imminent. I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming quickly. And it's just a matter of us being prepared for it, right? And sadly today, I feel like our church houses should be full. I feel like people ought to be knocking the doors down wanting to get in. But we're going the other direction. If you listen to the news, they was talking about us, you know, being here close to the Bible Belt. And I forget the exact numbers and all that, but we're way, way, way down in percentages from what we were just a couple years ago. It's just amazing how people are just walking away from God. And in the day of Noah, obviously, I think, you know, Noah and his family is the only ones that got on that ark. So obviously they were the only ones that were serving God. So I think we're better off today than we, you know, were then as far as people serving God. But the world being worse, so why has God not come? Jesus. Folks, God wants you to be saved. God wants you to go up in that rapture when that trumpet sounds. He doesn't want anybody to be left behind. He wants all of us to go. And it's nothing but God's love. We do live in that grace age. And it's nothing but His grace that's restraining right now. And folks, when we're taken out, and you know the world don't want you here. The world don't want you here. So when we get raptured out of here, the world's going to finally get what they want. And they're going to find out they don't want it. But it's going to be too late for them, isn't it? But I want to make sure when the trumpet sounds, I hear it. Okay, look at verse 18. It says, that's a big word. Dr. Carter always says you're crossing the street to the other side. Now, these first two verses up here, 12 and 13, we've been looking how evil man is. Now, in verse 18, it says, but, so we're going to look at the other side of that. With thee, talking to Noah, I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives, with thee, and every living thing. Now, I want you to notice, come in to the ark. Come into the ark. Folks, where's God at? He's already there. He's telling Noah to come in. So who is our ark today? The Lord Jesus. Amen. He's our ark. So when we get born again today, we get saved. Jesus is our ark. So right here, God is in the ark, and He's telling Noah to come in. So that's the picture of our salvation right there. And it's the same way today. He's calling you today. Come in. Come in. And all we have to do today, by grace, is to accept Him. And that's what Noah did right here. He's saying, come in. God's already there. Now look up here at chapter 7. Well, let's look at verse 22 before we move up there. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Folks, that right there is where we're messing up. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. All. You know, a lot of times we do things that God commands us, but we don't follow through with that all part. That's where we fall short a lot of times, isn't it? We fall short of that all. Now look at chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Here again, Noah is coming into the ark. God's already there. He's telling Noah to come into the ark. Now, you know, so God's there. He's our ark. All right, move on down to verse 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Here again, he done everything he was commanded to do. Folks, if we read on, we're going to see where the flood came upon the earth and God sealed. Before we get there, I lost my verse here. But anyhow, if we move on, if we read on, we'll see. I think it's verse 16. Let's go over to verse 16. And they that went in, male and female, all flesh, and God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. That's the verse I was looking for. And the Lord shut him in. God sealed that ark. God sealed that door. Let me ask you something. Do you think man or beast, do you think anybody is going to open that door? That door is sealed. It's the same way with us. When we get saved, we're sealed. We're sealed into God's ark. We're sealed into God's family. We're born again, and we're sealed in under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why am I going to have to worry about a tribulation period? Why am I going to have to? Why am I? I'm going to be sealed in now, and then I got to turn around and make a decision later on as to whether or not I'm going to accept the mark. I don't believe that. I don't believe that one bit. I believe I am sealed under the blood of the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to stay sealed. That's where I'm going to stay, right there. So I'm not going to let the world drag me into their little fantasies. So, you know, if they want to believe that, and you know, that's up to them. They have to do what they want to do. All right, go to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Y'all don't mind doing a little Bible study this morning, do you? Go to chapter 5. And a lot of you know this verse, verse 9. And I want you to remember, I did not write this. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. Folks, right there is my salvation. God had not appointed me to judgment in the tribulation period. He hasn't appointed me to be there. So when we, if we step off of that belief that we're going to be raptured out in Revelation 4 and we start dabbling into the other stuff, then we're saying that this verse is not true. You ever thought about that? That's what we're saying. We're saying that this doesn't matter. And I know what's happening is people's taking verses out of the Bible and they twist them and turn them to suit their own needs, to work the way they want them to work, rather than putting them into content in which they were taught in the Bible. And they turn things and make it look like we're going to be here. Folks, we're not going to be here. We're not going to be here. I do not believe that for a second. God's going to come get his people. He's going to rapture us out of here. We're going to go be with the Lord, and that's where we're going to stay. Amen? Now go with me to Revelations. Revelations 21. Revelations 21. And when we were talking a few moments ago about being saved, saved from what? This is what we're going to be saved from. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Folks, that's what we're saved from. We don't have to endure that. We don't have to worry about that. We're saved out of that mess. God loves us, and he died for us. And he is going to rapture us out of that mess if we live long enough, amen? And I believe he's coming soon. And folks, we need to be in prayer for those that are lost. We need to be in prayer for the church. It is a tremendous attack on the churches today. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And there's so many people that's being taught falsely. They're not being taught salvation. And I know most of the verses we went through today, for people, most everybody in here, they're pretty much common verses, because we go door knocking a lot, we go soul winning, and pretty much everybody here, most everybody here has done that at one time or another. So we use these verses all the time. But you'll be surprised how many churches today never teach salvation whatsoever. Never teach salvation. And if you come here, you're going to get it on Sunday morning, twice most of the time. You're going to get it on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Somewhere along the line, we're going to get the gospel in there. We're going to try to squeeze in, even in the Sunday school class, always try to get the gospel in somewhere. You never know when there's somebody. And I know for most of us, this is stuff that we've been over and over and over and over time and time again. But there's usually somebody. There's that one person that's lost. And that one person that needs to be saved. And sometimes just putting things on a simpler level, it makes it easier for the people to understand where they might come to Christ. Amen. And that's what we're here for this morning. We're here to learn, and we're here to get those that are lost saved, right? That's what everything we do here is about. And we might look at something else a little bit next week pertaining to the rapture. We'll see what happens. I don't think the preacher's going to be back until the following week. So if Dr. Carter gets back, he's going to go back to the Revelations class. So then you won't have to hear me, and you'll be able to listen to him back in the book of Revelations. How many of you remember what chapter he was in? One of you. Oh, all of you, 13, amen. He's in chapter 13. So when he gets back, he's going to take up there. So I'm a few minutes, I'm done. I've got a few minutes early, but we're going to go ahead and quit.